Welcome back. This is the last podcast before the Oscar ceremony. We will have a follow-up afterwards. I was a little under the weather, so my voice a little messy. but anyway, here we go. And I am Nathaniel Rogers from the Film Experience, and my guests today are Nick.
Hello.
Joe.
Hi.
And Katie.
Hello.
And that's from Nick's Flick Picks, Low Resolution, and Cinema Blend, as you know. I'm sure you're reading all of us faithfully.
Right.
Of course. I'm going to confess before we even start this that I don't even think I ever looked up the BAFTA winners. Like, I think that completely went past me.
Yeah, I was. I think I was on Twitter that when they were being sort of like leaked out, but
the King's Speech only won one, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
That has the ring of truth to it. So
I'm a little distracted. There's a mouse. That's why I'm distracted.
Oh no!
Yeah,
really?
It's in a trap, but
oh
yeah,
no!
It's in one of those glue traps.
Ew!
Oh,
it's so winter's bone.
I should skin it and have it for...
You should, Nathaniel, there's something to keep being fearful of.
Did any of you see the eagle?
I was just about to say the eagle because the entire audience completely, like, shuddered and cringed when he had to eat that rat.
Yeah. Ew.
Spoiler, Nick, sorry.
Oh, I forgot about the rat eating.
It just looks so slimy and gross.
And Jamie Bell just dug right in.
He really kind of did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
You're still my slave! Esther, what's happening? Get on your knees!
You're my slave. Do as I did for you, and you'll survive.
Nathaniel, did you review it for Toll Road? Was that the...
I did, yeah.
That's such a Toll Road movie.
It wasn't nearly enough of a Toll Road movie,
it is,
as far as I'm concerned.
It's
it
true,
could have used
but,
a whole lot of
I,
more...
But I couldn't figure out if it was intentionally homoerotic or not. It really straddled that line.
It certainly seemed to start that way during the scene where they were yelling, harder, slave, harder.
Put your weight on him, slave.
But then there was nothing else. Like, after that, they stopped doing that kind of stuff, and I stopped having fun.
Yeah, other than soulful staring
yeah,
at
so
each
we're
other, that was...
staring, and yes, and, but nothing quite so good as that surgery scene.
Yeah.
Well, soulful staring is definitely gay.
Well, that is
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
Sorry, straighties.
Only gay people stare at each other.
Soulfully.
Okay. So... Oh, so we're going to talk about the BAFTAs, but Katie, you're admitting that you didn't watch.
I didn't watch. I think so. I need you guys to tell me if the BAFTAs matter, because at this point, I don't feel like they do.
I have to admit, I didn't watch either. So,
well, the two things that matter are that you always want Miranda Richardson to lose in the audience because she gets feisty and fierce, and they. Did they film her for, what, like 20 seconds, Nathaniel? Just
they kept cutting back to her.
Unedited, like pure real-time, fuck her sort of reaction. It was kind of great.
When she lost for supporting actress?
She lost for supporting actress. She seemed pretty over it. I mean, you know, I don't want to overstress it, but it was a little bit great.
I love people who don't try to disguise it.
Totally.
That they actually view it as like a competition, you know?
I was watching clips from the 1990 Oscars, mm-hmm. and it wasn't when Angelica Houston lost in her category, strangely enough. It was when Whoopi Goldberg won and beat Annette Bening for The Grifters. Yeah. They did this cutaway to Angelica Houston, the iciest, shadiest glare you have ever seen in your entire life. I encourage everybody to go find it. It's on YouTube. It's a pristine clip, and it's just this sustained hatred. And they keep the camera on her for this ungodly length of time. It's so fantastic.
It's like it's a Jackie Weaver moment.
It's amazing. And all the while, Whoopi Goldberg is like, you know, just going crazy and just screaming and yelling and running up to the stage. And just she gets the stare down. It's brilliant.
I really hope that happens this year, though. I just feel like those days are past. Like, everyone's going to get dissected on the internet if they do that. So they have to, like, be, like, stone-faced.
Yeah.
It used to just be, like, us obsessives with our VCRs, like, rewinding, like, oh, my God, look at her face.
But then again, you have somebody like Bill Murray who reacted poorly when Sean Penn beat him. And it's not like that's affected his popularity among his fans. So I feel like there's a certain type of star that can get away with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If somebody's going to pull it off, it would be Melissa Leo.
Oh, yeah.
And I, you know, I'm not, you know, Melissa Leo's fine. I'm not trying to get you down on Melissa Leo. But I think I count on her for some unvarnished stuff.
Well, she has not hidden her her reactions at all. I mean, of course she's won, but
right.
Yeah, she's been winning everything.
Yeah, but I mean, even that, she's not even dampening
it's a live
down.
Feed. Yeah,
yeah, it's a live feed. Yeah,
be the American Miranda Richardson.
There you go. The other great thing to know from BAFTA is this joke that I wonder if they'll steal. But at the beginning, the host is just telling you how things will go and how much time you get, and says, so what I need you to know is when the presenter opens the envelope and reads the name of the relevant participant of the King's Speech, you need to come up. The whole audience howled, except for Danny Boyle, who seemed to think that wasn't totally funny.
Danny Boyle, you had your moment 2 years ago.
He did. I mean, he grinned, you know, but
I feel like it'd be fun being Danny Boyle right now. You know, you're not going to win anything, and you get to go to everything, and your film is acknowledged,
right.
And, you know.
That
worked out
pretty
well.
That's what I was talking about on Tribeca. Yeah. It seems like nobody is having more fun this year than Nicole Kidman.
Mm-hmm.
She does not expect
to win.
Oh my
God, that's the truth. Even at awards that she's not even nominated at. That was the greatest thing I've seen on television this year, the Grammys with Nicole Kidman.
Yes.
They should have been called the Grammys with Nicole Kidman. Because...
Yeah, okay, I didn't watch the Grammys either. I'm really behind on my award show. So she did a standing ovation for Justin Bieber, this is what I understand?
Yes.
Well, that was only the beginning. There was
that was only the beginning, yeah.
Because it went from that to...
lip-syncing to Katy Perry.
And then rocking out to Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
She was
dancing up a storm.
And she looked gorgeous, and her hair was redder than I've seen it in quite a long while, and she's just...
It's the secret to her happiness.
It was a moment. Wow. It was a moment for Nicole Kidman stepping back into our good graces as American. I truly believe that.
That's wonderful.
Yeah,
because for her, like, it really is such an honor, like, the honor to be nominated thing, because, you know, 2 years ago, you had said her career was dead. It's nice that she's, like, recognizing that is what it is. Like, she got nominated, she's back in it, and she doesn't need anything else from it. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, I don't even feel like it was her career was dead. It was just that in the very separate spheres of mainstream, you know, American attention and what she was doing, mm-hmm. which was just, like, making movies that people who like movies are interested in.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, she's,
how dare she?
I feel like she stepped back into being like a mainstream celebrity again, and is having fun with it in a way that she hasn't always seemed to be. You know what I mean? Like, nobody has to be super psyched about the harsh glare of the media, but like, she really seemed to be enjoying herself, and that was wonderful to watch.
BAFTAs, since you guys didn't watch, I mean, basically the King's Speech swept, even supporting actor. So Bale lost.
Right. Yeah. Which I don't think matters, right?
No.
But Hooper didn't win Best Director, right?
That's
or who
true.
Won Best British Director, but didn't Fincher won something.
Yeah, it wasn't a full sweep.
Fincher didn't win almost any of the technicals either.
It seemed like less of a sweep than I thought it would.
Well, it won 7 prizes, so that is a lot.
But it could have won like 25 or something like that. Right? They were making up awards to give to it.
Well, it won Best Score, which could happen again.
It won Best Score?
Yeah.
I feel like the Fincher thing was the one thing that bound to me as anything significant, because I've maintained that Fincher is definitely going to win Best Director, and I just feel like that BAFTA win was really strong evidence in favor of that theory.
Uh-huh.
I'm with you. I've never thought he wouldn't win.
A big victory behind enemy lines. Like, that would seem to be the most hostile environment for Fincher to win.
Behind enemy lines.
Yeah.
Oh, didn't you know we were still at war with...
They could be back at any time.
That is true. on your couch.
I can see them from my house, so I'm on it. Darren Aronofsky was one of many people accepting for somebody who wasn't there, and every single time that that happened, it was a, you know, maybe regarding the Melissa Leo thing that she wanted too much. Like, it was just a reminder that everybody fucking wants this. So, like, Darren Aronofsky came out and gave this homage to Natalie Portman, in which he said that she was by far the most committed actor that he'd ever worked with on anything, which seems like quite a statement from Darren Aronofsky.
Especially since Ellen Burstyn cleaned that whole freaking apartment in Requiem for a
Dream.
For hours.
Although Natalie Portman did train for like a year to do the, you know, like ate nothing for a year to become ballerina. I don't know.
I feel like almost everybody who's worked with him, you know, Mickey Rourke, I mean, like there's been some, you know, it just seemed like it was hard sell. And then Roger Deakins won, but he wasn't there, and so they let Haley Steinfeld accept for him, so that she got to say what an honor it was to work on the set of True Grit with all. I mean, it you know, sort of doubled as a, like, this is what it would be like if Haley Steinfeld won, and then
all these people she's admired since she was 7.
Yeah, you got it.
Like half her life.
Oh, third party advocacy seems. I mean, not to return to the Melissa Leo thing too hard, but like third party advocacy does have that softer ring to it. Somebody else can be more hardcore in the tank for you and have it not look quite so tacky as you being hardcore in the tank for yourself.
Yeah.
Helena Bonham Carter, do we think that she has a shot now?
I love that this started as our, like, let's not talk about predictions podcast. We are totally in court.
Well, I mean, we're going to talk about BAFTA, and you have to know that she was the queen of BAFTA.
Right, and gave this amazing speech.
You know, I'm so used to losing, it's quite a strange feeling to win. But it feels very nice. But now, children, if you're watching, it's not about the winning. still feels nice. I'm thrilled to be considered in the same category as my fellow supporting actresses. And I'm not just sucking up. You're all brilliant. My underskirt has got hitched up, and this is not a good moment.
Any of those 5 women, I think, could still win.
Yeah, I think it's a very open race.
Like, when you have to lay down a final prediction, I kind of enjoy saying it's an open race, but I have actually no idea how I'm going to go when I have to make a final prediction.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm torn between Leo Steinfeld and Helena.
I mean, I still think it's going to be Leo, but I feel like everybody else in that category is a legitimate dark horse.
Yeah.
I'm still between Leo and Weaver, which is stupid, which means for Leo, but you know.
Keep the torch alive.
Thanks. You know, Marcia Gay Weaver.
Nice.
The suspense is killing us with supporting actress.
It's great. It's great to have anything with suspense in it, since everyone is so...
Are we really drumming up the suspense? Because Melissa Leo has basically won everything, except for BAFTA, which she wasn't even nominated for.
Yeah.
I don't know. We might be. We might just be bored. I mean, I think a lot of the Annette Bening thing is that, like, us just being bored and being like, oh, please, just let's come up with something that could happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although, BAFTA marks the second time that somebody in their acceptance speech has cited being wowed by being near Julianne Moore, which I thought was interesting.
Really?
When the Kurt from Glee won?
Yeah, that's right.
Didn't he say he dropped his heart between Julianne Moore and Natalie Portman?
And Natalie Portman, yeah, he did.
Yeah, and then when Aaron Sorkin won at BAFTA, he said, I would normally be more excited, but I'm sitting right behind one of the Beatles, and right in front of him is Annette Bening, and right in front of her is Julianne Moore, so, you know.
People like Julianne Moore, although apparently not enough to nominate her this year.
Or last year.
not enough to nominate.
Oh, she's so good.
Second year in a row, she's come so close.
I know.
Well, I don't know. She didn't come close this year, though.
Yeah.
But I feel like she's back on the radar in a way she hadn't been for a good few years, so.
I guess she had another Fire from Heaven right now.
Yeah.
She would have a real shot.
Because those are so easy to come by.
Right?
Just
somebody whip her up another Fire from Heaven, please.
Or if she cut off her arm in something, or somebody cut off her arm in something, I think that would probably pull
her. There's a lot of options.
There are.
Yeah, speaking of the cutting off of arms, Let's trade
as we normally are.
What kind of game is this?
Let's trade whole bodies. And my favorite game to play in the symposium, which I readers have probably wondered about, I did not hold this year because the time got away from me, and then suddenly everybody was so tired of Oscar and who might win and that sort of thing. My favorite game to play in that is which people always say, oh, you can't compare this performance to that performance, it's different roles, you know, different directors, all that. So which performance that's nominated would you like to have seen played by somebody else that's nominated just for kicks? What do you think would have been interesting?
That I actually made a list of 7.
Oh, my goodness.
Which I'm not going to read all of them out, but I'm just going to
say what you read them.
Pick your fave.
Yeah, I want to hear them.
All right. I'll say my favorite, and then once we're all done, I'll say my favorite. But my absolute favorite that I now can't get out of my head is Annette Bening as Birdie in The King's Speech. Because how amazing would that be? She's already so regal. She's already... And then if we're going not quite so far-fetched, the other one I had was Javier Bardem as Paul in The Kids Are All Right.
Oh!
Wow. Oh, that's a great one.
Wouldn't that not be mind-blowingly amazing?
I had recast him as Teardrop in Winter's Bone, but I like what you're doing better. I defer to you.
Mine is Nakeder, so.
John Hawks is as Paul and The Kids Are All Right.
Oh, nice.
I'm really worried that John Hawks is just going to be that villain guy forever now. Mm. And I think he's so great, Me and You and Everyone We Know, and I would love to see him like do Sexy Interloper. I think he'd be great at it.
Sexy Interloper.
Yeah, he's a lot more versatile than anybody who's only seen him in Winter's Bone would know.
Well, I think that's everybody, though, right? Because everybody forgets that they've seen him before.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, and he's got Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene coming, and that he's also a scary cult leader in that.
Oh, is he?
I don't know. I'm worried about him. He's great in it, but it's a similarly intense, dark role, and I'm worried he's going to get stuck there.
Winter's Bone seems such a departure from what I knew him as, which is my main reference point for him has always been Deadwood, where he was this kind of menschy sidekick guy. So Winter's Bone was the departure for me, so that's interesting that he's going in that direction again with Martha Macy May Marlene.
Yeah, there you go.
Good job. You already
got it on
the title.
I got it all. I know.
I keep missing it.
You swept it.
Did you have these swaps? Did you have swaps in mind?
I wonder, you know, just because, you know, because you can't compare people directly, what Natalie Portman would do with something that was more naturalistic, like Blue Valentine.
Oh.
Because her performance is... It seems to me like what people love her in is these very stylized, like heightened things like Closer and Black Swan and, you know, The Professional, where there's just a level of unreality to it.
Yeah.
And I wonder how she would handle something like that. Anybody think she would pull it off?
I thought about that.
I don't
know. I've been watching a lot of her movies to write something about her. I've been profiling all the best actress nominees and their bodies of work, and so I've been watching a bunch of her movies I'd never seen before, and it's true that there were more where there's sort of less affectation in the movie than I had thought, like exactly what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know that I'm eager to see her try to go all the way to something like Blue Valentine. Like I would stop at like Charlene in The Fighter. I think that would have been sort of fun, and she could have been funny, which I think is something they don't let her do often enough, or she's not letting herself do often enough until just now when she's like only wants to be funny, like do the January comedy funny, which is not totally what I'm interested in. But
I love that that's a genre, January comedy.
Yeah. January comedy. I know exactly what
I liked her in that movie, though. It's not a great movie, but I actually thought she showed up pretty well. Silence to that.
I was just about to say I'd like to see Michelle Williams play Maddie Ross from True Grit, which that's kind of what she does in Meek's Cutoff. So I feel like I'm just thinking Meek's Cutoff. So if anyone wants to see that, see Meek's Cutoff.
I want to see Helena Bonham Carter play Rooster Cogburn. She could totally do it.
An all female version of True Grit.
Totally. She could have been drunk and scuzzy and eye patched. I mean, you know she would do it in a minute.
I wonder if Colin Firth could pull that off.
Oh, that'd be so
really great stretch for him in a way that I think would be valuable for him to stretch.
Colin Firth.
Do you think he'll ever stretch like that, though? Like, do you think he's ever going to get out of his wheelhouse in that way?
He's especially not like with the Oscar.
Yeah, he won't have to.
I feel like that's not on every actor to stretch, though. I mean, some of them are just, they're valuable in their wheelhouse. And to a moviegoer, I don't know if I need to see every actor play every type of role.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who are types, and they're types for a reason, and they're really fantastic. And I mean, the casting matters in that way. But I would, going back to Helena Bonham Carter, I was sort of thinking of her the other way, is in something like Rabbit Hole, which is not weird, but also not super underwritten in the way she was in The King's Speech. Like, gives her a lot to do in a way that I'm not entirely sure. I think it would be a really unexpected result.
Yeah.
In a really kind of thrilling way.
Her performance in Wings of the Dove suggests that she has so much more in her than anybody ever asks of her.
Because
that performance,
especially Tim Burton.
Yeah, because that performance is so psychological, and most of her stuff is you know, Tim Burton stuff.
I was thinking about trying to tamp Helena Bonham Carter down and wondering about Melissa Leo. Do you think anyone could have taken that character and done something more interesting with it than Leo did? Or do you feel like it's so big that she did what anyone would have done, the character itself?
So did you not think that what she did was?
I did. I thought what she did was interesting, but I agree with a lot of the critiques that she's kind of big, that there's a lot going into it that maybe doesn't need to be there. And I was just thinking, like what if Nicole Kidman played that character? Like, would it wind up the same way, or would she have brought something else to it?
I think Annette Bening might have taken a stab at that. But
I actually was going to say Annette Bening, because I think that would actually have been a lot of fun.
I'm a huge fan of what Melissa Leo did in The Fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was especially a big fan at the moment when Marky Mark, sorry to keep calling him that.
please do.
You know, when they really sort of stand up to her and sort of tell her how it is that she is. And I thought we had been built for that to be her huge explosion where she finally just sort of loses it on all of them. And she didn't play it that way at all, which was the moment that I realized how interesting I thought the performance was. That
she
did act baffled.
I don't understand what's happening. Is that the senior?
Yeah, I'll do what you want. What is it that you want? What are you saying?
Yeah.
Is that the same one where she goes to the one daughter, like, you still owe me $200. You can't say anything to me.
I love
that script. Man, what a fantastic moment.
Oh my god, I want to go see it right now.
Right?
Yeah, the BAFTAs made me a little nervous about The Fighter going home empty-handed.
But The Fighter hasn't worked in England at all. I mean, the reviews weren't good. It barely got nominated for things. The box office hasn't been good.
I still don't see Christian Bale losing. I don't see how that's possible.
I don't either. I think he's a slam dunk.
Well, I hope you guys are right. I just know that Jeffrey Rush has this magnetized statue superpower.
Magneto.
He's won so many statues.
Can I do one last one of these? On the John Hawkes question, I think he would nail, if we're going to do the inevitable American crowd-pleasing remake of Beautiful, which I'm sure all the studios want to do, I think he would totally nail it. So Beautiful 2, Revenge of the Fallen, John Hawkes.
Revenge of the Fallen. I love it.
The Revenge of the side. Ghost on the Ceiling.
Beautiful, the dark side of Inarritu.
I just wanted to throw two more out there. Jennifer Lawrence as Charlotte in The Fighter.
Oh, yeah.
And James Franco as a male Nina Sayers in Black Swan. Because you know James Franco would commit to it fully.
He's probably filming it in his room right now.
That's exactly what I'm saying. It's going to be on Fire or Die like in a week and a half.
To be continued. That's the end of part one. We were extra chatty this week, so this will have to be in two parts. The next one comes tomorrow. Do let us know which actor you would sub for which other actor in which nominated role. Fun party game, right?